Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Teret Amud Aleph by the two dots. Gemara again is quoting the Tosefta. It's the last part of the Tosefta that we had back on Daf Vov. Jizacherim omrim, iskopa mishameshet shtei rishuyot. As opposed to the previous statement in the Tosefta, which said that the iskopa was a makom p'tur. Over here, the Achirim say that the iskopa functions both as a rishut yachid and a rishut rabim. Zman shepetach patuach. When the door is open, kilifnim. It has a din like a reshuti achid on the inside. Petach na'ul. On the other hand, if the door is closed, kilachutz. Then it has a din like being on the outside. So now the Gemara is going to present the question on this piece of the Tosefta, which is, can that really be true? Is that really right, what we're describing over here? Because, and I'm going to read this Gemara according to Rashi. Tosfot has a slightly different way of reading the Gemara, but according to Rashi, the question is, va'afagav deletle lechi? Is that true, even though there's no lechi? So we've discussed before already that a lechi is used to become the equivalent of a fourth wall, midrabanan, or to demarcate where the end of the Rishut HaYachid is and the beginning of the Rishut HaRabim, and it's required to be there. So here, you can see in this picture, you have a lechi that's the end of the doorway. This is an area that where they have a mavoi, they have a shitaf mevaot, and they put a lechi at the end to demarcate where the end of that mavui is and where the Rishut HaRabim is. So that lechi is over there. So Rashi says that the Gemara at this point is saying, wait a minute, how could it be that all of this is fine and we don't worry about the outside being part of the Rishut HaRabim because of the placement of the lechi? And that is, we have over here, Ramar Rav Chamar Bar Gurya, Amarav, Tocha Petach, Tzarech lechi acher lahatiro. The inside of the petach requires a second lechi in order to be matirit. So in this instance, had the lechi been over here on the inner edge of the doorway, that's what the assumption, according to Rashi, is of the Gemara. That the lechi was on the inner edge of the doorway. And now the Gemara is asking, how could it be that the area of the doorway itself is considered to be a reshut yachid if there's no lechi on the outside of the doorway? And that's the Gemara is asking over here. Even though there's a lechi on the inside, you need a second lechi on the outside in order to be matir this area between the doorways, in the door frame, basically, of the area of the door frame. Over here in this picture, it would be this area. You would need a lechi on the outside over here in order to cover the area of the door frame. So Gemara wants to know, how come there's no lechi over there? Meaning that the Gemara assumed over here that the only lechi was on the inside, and number two is that michodo mipnim. From the inner edge of the lechi is where you're allowed to utilize. So the inner edge of this inner lechi would only be matir, the area on the inside. The door frame would be completely excluded from that. And since it's excluded from that, how could it be that you could suggest that the door area, or the skopa, this threshold, is a reshuti yachid, even if the door is open? You're missing a key element here, which is the other lechi. V'chitema delet be dalet al dalet. If you want to suggest that it's an area that does not qualify for a reshut, and it does not require a lechi. V'amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya. So the same statement, Rav Chama Bar Gurya Marav. Tocha petach. Afo pishein bo dalet al dalet. Even though it doesn't meet the requisite dalet al dalet, tzarich lechi acher lahatiro. You still need a second lechi in that case. So even though it's an area that is very small, despite the fact that it's not a qualified reshut bifnei atzmo, despite all of that, it still requires a second lechi. Still requires a lechi on the outside in order to be matirit. So please explain to me how it is that this iskopa, this threshold, is going to qualify, this threshold here is going to qualify it as a reshut yachid. How could that be Rishut Yechid if you don't have a lechi on the outer side of the wall? Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hocha biskopat mavui askinan. We're dealing with an iskopa from a mavui, not an iskopat bayit. The difference, we before discussed the difference between iskopat bayit and iskopat mavui. Over here, the distinction that Rashi is going to draw between them is chetzio mikura v'chetzio she'eno mikura. That the mavui, that iskopa, the threshold, is partially roofed and partially left open. Vikiryav klape pnim. And the roofing ends towards the inside. So petach patuach, when you have the door open, kilifnim. It has a din like the inside. Petach na'ul, on the other hand, if the doorway is closed, then it's kilachutz. So now Rashi is going to explain how this works. What exactly is the case that we're talking about here? So, if you look in Rashi, it says, "Hacha biskopet mavui askinan." It says, "Avalo b'mavui sheachshero b'lechi." So the first thing is, we're not using a lechi over here. So there is no lechi. So that first is going to avoid the problem or the question that we asked originally, which is, where's the lechi? There is no lechi, and that's why there was no mention of the lechi. It says, "Vayiskopa v'ovi apetach mistama rechavim heim." This threshold and the area of the entrance to the mavui is very wide. Nimtza chetzio shel ovi apetach mikure. Half of it is covered with the roof. V'chetzio enu mikure, and the other half is not covered with the roof. Kigon shenia korah klapei pnim litzara mavui. He put on a beam towards the mavui side of it. Hilkach petach batuach, when the door's open, kilifnim. It is like the inside, michod hachitzon shel hakoreh, vilifnim. From the edge of the korah and inwards. So over here, where you have a doorway, here he's suggesting that they just have this beam here, the inner beam. And when there's a principle in Eruvin, which is called chod hatikra yoreid v'sotein, which is the edge of the tikra, of the roof, goes down and closes. It's the equivalent of being another wall, gudachit. We use the principle in sukkah, we use the principle in Eruvin, which is that if there is a tefach, at least of thickness up here, that it's a pia tikra yoreid v'sotein, that the edge goes down and makes the end. So over here, this edge of the inner beam, assuming that there's no outer beam here, just the inner beam, this is the inside, the one towards the mavoi, and then the outer edge of that beam will go down and be sotem as long as the door is open. If the door is closed, then the outer edge of the beam is outside of the mavoi. So that's what Rashi is explaining. That you're allowed to use under the korah itself, you're allowed to utilize. Oh, mishum tahekera milabar, or because the heker has to do with the outer edge of the beam. So either way, that you can utilize. Now, when the petach is na'ul, when the door is closed, then we have a problem. The door problem is that when the door is closed, the chol mechitza she'im bachlala mechitzot, dalit einan mechitzot. Then it's missing the requisite minimum shiur for a reshut. So over here, where the door is locked, the area that's left over here, even though it might have a covering or an area like that, it's too small. Yeah, it's too small. It doesn't have a dalit al dalit. It's too small an area. And it being too small an area, it doesn't matter that the upper beam is there, and you have the edge of the beam coming down to make it into a reshut. It's just not a reshut. It fails the test of a reshut. And then it has to be dalit al dalit. It is dalit al dalit when the door is open, or then it's connected to the inner mavoi. But once you close the door, that outer side, this area on the outer side, is not dalit al dalit. So it fails the test of reshut when the door is closed, and therefore the beam has no impact when the door is closed. When the door is open, then the whole area of the petach over here, you can see, is available or counts towards it, and then you have dalit al dalit. So now Rashi points out here, v'hu adin the matziluk makula mikure. This whole thing about half roof, not half roofed. Truthfully, the roof could go all the way to the outside, like over here in this picture. It could reach the edge, all the way to the end. Right. The problem is not the roof. The problem is the missing the requisite dalit al dalit. So it doesn't matter if the roof ends halfway or the roof gets all the way out to the edge. Problem is, once you close the door, whatever is left on the outside is not dalit al dalit. And it not being dalit al dalit, that's where you run into your problem. That's where the failure is. So Rashi says it's even. She'el she'ein baruch avovyo dalit. El mishum de stam uvi achoma eno pachot midalit. Stam uvi achomo is not less than dalit. So in order to deal with the issue, the Gemara made it half mikureh, half not mikureh. But technically, if the outer edge was less than dalit al dalit here, then the roof could come to all the way to the outside and you have the same din. Rashi is just saying over here that this area on the outer edge could be more than dalit al dalit in our case. And the problem is that the edge of the koreh doesn't reach the end. It doesn't cover an area that's dalit al dalit. Doesn't cover an area dalit al dalit, then you don't have a mechitza that is within dalit al dalit. So that's the failure here, according to Rashi. And that's the answer. The answer to our question over here is, why is there no lechi? There's no lechi because we're using another method. The other method is called korah. The korah, a beam that lays across the top. Now, why does it make a difference when the door is open and closed? It makes a difference because you need the minimum shiur of dalit al dalit. So when the door is open, you have that requisite shiur of dalit al dalit, and the beam will then cause, the outer edge of the beam will be like an extra mechitza, and anything till the outer edge of the beam will be considered within the mavui. Close the door, then whatever's left outside of the door, either if it's completely roofed and it's less than Dalet al Dalet, or if the beam ends before it reaches a point that it has Dalet al Dalet, over there you have a failure to have Dalet al Dalet, there's no Mechitza. Mechitza doesn't matter anymore, and that's why there's a problem when the door is closed. So that's the way Rashi explains it, according to the first answer, which is, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Hacha Biskopat Mavui Askinan. Now the other possibility is, Rabashi Amar, Dolam Biskopat Bayit Askinan. We're talking about here not an iskop of a Mavui. Right here again, the iskop of a Mavui is something that sits between the Reshut Rabim and an area of, we'll call it a cul-de-sac, that has many chatzerot or batim on it. But rather, we're talking about the iskopat Bayit. Talking about a doorway to a house, like in this case over here, where you're talking about the doorway to the house, and then instead of putting one beam on top, the Gemara explains over here that kagon shekira b'shtei korot. They do use two beams on top. Kagon shekira b'shtei korot, shein b'zu arba'a, vein zu ubu arba'a. Neither of the beams themselves has, individually has four tvachim to it. Ve'ein bein zu l'zu shlosha. But there's less than three tvachim between them, which already in your mind should ring a bell. Lavud, right? Lavud means that the area is as if it doesn't exist. So if you look at the whole area, the two beams together plus the empty space of lavud, I have a greater area than the dalet that I require. On the other hand, if I'm to separate between the beams, then each beam by itself is not sufficient to get you to the minimum shiur. And that's why over here you say, if the door is open, then I have the requisite shiur of the korah over an area that is dalet al dalet. Because it goes, the two korot together will now be covering an area that's dalet al dalet. That is skopa, which is independent of anything that's on the inside or the outside, because it's iskopa tabayit. Iskopa tabayit is totally separate. The iskopa tamavui can be considered part of the mavui. That way, if you open up the door, what's behind it or part of the mavui could be included. But over here, the iskopa tabayit is independent. And then being independent, it will now depend on whether the door is open or closed. When the door is open, the two korot together, because they're within three tefachim of each other, and the two of them together, each one is less than four tefachim, but together they will meet the requisite shiur, then I'm fine. I have now the requisite shiur for mechitza, and the outer edge of the korah will be yoreid and sotaim, and that will give me what I need in order to make it a reshuta yachid. On the other hand, if the door is closed, then each beam sits independently. If each beam sits independently, we just said that each beam itself does not reach the requisite four. It doesn't reach up to the arba'ad tfachim. And if that's the case, if the petach is open, then it has a din like the inside. Because I now have the requisite shi'ur to have a mechitza there, because now I have the four tfachim, and it'll be as if it is a reshuta yachid. On the other hand, if it's delet na'ul, or petach na'ul, the door is closed, then I have a failure because it's kalachutz, because now I'm missing the requisite shiur to have a mechitza on the outer side. Once I close the door, this outer korah does not meet the minimum shiur. Since it doesn't meet the minimum shiur, it can't be a mechitza, and that outer edge now will not be classified as a reshu yachid. Rashi explains, about tikra dalet lo betela. As soon as you have a tikra that is dalet, it's not betel. You read that stimata b'nilat dalet. Talach lamosh misayhu, gold, ulavud v'dofen akuma b'makom dalet. Basic principle here is that even if you close the door, if the area meets the requisite test, it will not be mivatelet. But the problem over here is that he used two korot. Right? Shein b'zu arba v'lo b'zu arba. Neither one of them by themselves has the requisite necessary shiur. V'lo b'nehem gimel v'adelet mitukan liyot no'el b'emtsam. And the door is right in the middle. Hilka petach patuach lefnim. Because they don't have the Ein B'nei'em Gimel, Armin and Lavud, and then it'd be like one big unit, and they have the requisite Dalet. If the door is closed, then you're missing the requisite Dalet on each one of them, and obviously the inside won't be a problem, because the door will become the other Mechitza, but the outside will become a problem now, because it fails to have a proper area to have a Mechitza over it. The Tikra, the roof, now does not meet the requisite Shiur, or demand for Shiur over here. It becomes a makom tur, correct. It'll become a makom tur, depending. I mean, it'll have to qualify. It'll have to be more than three tefachim high. It'll have to be less than 4x4 tefachim, right? I mean, it has to meet the terms for makom tur. It'll either be a karmelit or a makom tur. One of the two. That's correct. Correct. What's interesting here, I don't know why Rashi has, the Gemara uses arba'ah in all these cases. Use dalet dalet, then uses arba'ah, which would refer to tefachim. In Rashi over here, he uses she'en bo arba, which would refer to amot. I'm not sure why Rashi changed it into the female. Lashon here, which would have included Amot, right? It might have been Dalet al Dalet in Rashi and opened up to Arba. That's what it seems to me. When I was reading the Rashi, I said, oh, you know, it's a little strange because all of a sudden it's the only time on the Daf that it uses Arba. Those are the two possible solutions to our problem why the Skopa, when the doors open and close, could either be a Reshut Yachid on the outside of Reshut Rabim. The one solution was to say that it was dealing with Tukorot, and we said the other solution is to say that it's half roofed and half not roofed. And Rashi said, again, it wouldn't matter, it could be roofed all the way out, as long as that area did not have the minimum shiur for a mechitza. If it does meet the minimum shiur of the mechitza, then wherever that korah ends, if that korah does not extend four tefachim past the door, it doesn't have the minimum requisite shiur, and therefore you don't have a mechitza there, and you don't have a reshut yachid when the door is closed. That's the two solutions to our problem. Right, next, v'imaita iskopa gvoyud v'rachva dalet. If the threshold is 10 tefachim high, v'rachva dalet and 4 tefachim wide, or is it reshut liatzma? It's its own entity. Its own entity because it's now like its own reshut yachid. Anytime you have two domains, and they are one reshut, kugom. Amud reshut yachid, gvoa yud rachav dalet, asur leketev alav. So it's a very interesting concept. You're in a reshut yachid. We said before that reshut yachid is ole ad rakia. Anything in the reshut yachid is a reshut yachid. All of a sudden you find within the reshut yachid, you find this, whether it's a colonnade, a beam, a pole of some sort, that is 10 tefachim high by 4 tefachim. Now, it shouldn't matter because you're in reshut yachid. And everything in the reshut yachid up to the sky is a reshut yachid. Now that amud, if it wasn't in a reshut yachid, but rather in reshut rabim, what would be its status? Its status in reshut rabim would be a reshut yachid in the middle of a reshut rabim. Over here, now I'm in a reshut yachid. So even if it is a reshut yachid in the reshut yachid, even if it's a separate reshut, it's still a reshut yachid. So it shouldn't matter at all. Rabbi Meir was gozer over here, that gozer mishum tel reshut rabim. Because in the reshut rabim, this would be problematic. If you had this pole that was 10 tefachim high, 4x4 in the reshut rabim, that would be a reshut yachid in the reshut rabim. Then when I find the same thing in the reshut yachid, I'm not going to let you use it. Even though they're both reshut yachid. And even, we're afraid, exactly, because they're mishum tel reshut rabim. We're afraid that it's going to look like the tel in reshut rabim, you're going to get confused. You're going to think in reshut yachid you can use it, so tel in the reshut rabim you can use it. And obviously it's very different. Hashash is that you will move from the reshut rabim to reshut yachid, you'll move. If you do that in the reshut yachid, you'll think, oh, I have two domains, and I'm allowed to move between the two domains. So I'll come into reshut rabim, and I'll do the same thing. But the problem is in reshut rabim, there are two domains that are different, and that's what will cause the problem. Oh, very good. So Tosfot asks your question. What about an aliyah? When you have an aliyah and a downstairs, when you have two floors, why isn't that the same gzeirah? Then that's exactly this case. You're above 10 tefachim, you have another 4x4, you have two different levels in the house. You're dealing with two reshiyot ayachid within the same house. Can you move between them? So Tosfot asks your question. How could it be that the gzeirah? Now just point out, in the Tosefta, remember the achirim are speaking. And we know other places that the Achirim is Rabbi Meir. That's why the Gemara here assigns this to Rabbi Meir. It's a Gzeira of Rabbi Meir. That's why the Gemara brings in Rabbi Meir to explain the Achirim, as Rashi points out. Tosfot, that's your question. He says, Omeri, to be by the Aliyah, lo asar. What about two floors in a house? Rabbi Meir, let's tell, to lo yevo lo tell, bekach mishut rabim aliyah. The minkar mechitzatav lo toi inche behochi. There, it's, they're defined spaces. It's clear that they're demarcated. And there you're not going to make the mistake. The problem here is talking about a pillar. You're talking about some, you know, pillar in the middle of the Reshut Yachid that doesn't have any demarcation in terms of Mechitzot. Just happens to be a place that's convenient that you can use it. Remember, when we're talking about 10 tefachim high, by 4x4, you're not talking about an area that's very high. You're talking about an area that is very close to the ground. Over here you can see it. And we're talking about an area that is very low to the ground. When we're talking about like a teifalav, to rest on it, I mean, it means to sit down and put your load down on it. It's something that's very easily utilized within the Reshut Yachid, and therefore you can make the same mistake in using it in the Reshut Rabim, because it's not easily defined, it's not separate in a real sense. And because of that, there's the Gzeira. But where it's clear, defined, and separate, like the Bayit Valiyah, over there we don't worry about you mixing up the Reshut Rabim.
What's the border? Because, okay, if it's like a beam, like it's so small, so there's a shot that we say to people, but if it's like a small room.
Right, so there I think that's exactly what Tosafot is pointing out. There you wouldn't have to observe. Right. It will be a Reshut Yachid, but we're not going to worry about it in Reshut Yachid. Rabbi Meir's Gzeira is when that is found in a Reshut Yachid, Do we make such a gezeira? You're right. In Rishut Rabim, that would be a Rishut Yechid. That's not the question. The question is, am I gozer in Rishut Yechid that you'll come and mix them up? So there, Rabbi Meir says yes when it's dealing with the beam. When you're dealing with rooms, you're dealing with Bayit Baliyah, there you're not going to get mixed up. That it might be, that would be under it. The only good news is, the Tosfot says that there is a principle in Shas, that anytime Rabbi Meir makes a gzeira on Shas, halacha kamoto, afilu, legabei rabim. Even if the majority argues on him, we pass him like Rabbi Meir. About here, halacha, in halacha Rabbi Meir. Over here, the halacha is not like Rabbi Meir, because in Erevin, there's Rabbi Shimon who argues on him, and the Gemara over there says that all these Rishiyot are considered Rishut Echat, because there the Gemara paskins ahead you openly like Rabbi Shimon. Since the Gemara paskins like Rabbi Shimon, that everything is a Rishut Echat, we know the halacha is not like Rabbi Meir. Anyway, the halacha, it's not going to be relevant to us because this gzeira of Rabbi Meir does not take effect. But just to understand Rabbi Meir himself, Tosafot explains what the difference between a Bayit and Aliyah and the Amud is. That it's a Rishut Lifnei Atzma. Because even though it's a Rishut Yachid, and it's near Rishut Yachid, it's called a Rishut Bifnei Atzma.
But really?
It's a Gzera, right. Technically, it is a Rishut Bifnei Atzma. Min HaTorah, it's also a Rishut Bifnei Atzma. It just doesn't matter, because they're both Rishuyot HaYachid. Question is, do we give significance to the fact that it's a different Rishut? Rabbi Meir says, yes, we're going to give significance to it. And that Acherim, we know, is Rabbi Meir, in the Mishnah. So that would be consistent in Rabbi Meir's opinion, that when you add something that's a separate Rishut, even though they're the same Rishut, the same domain, nevertheless, we're going to give significance to that, and that's what we made the Shita do. Okay, now we begin the second Mishnah in Shabbat. The Mishnah is interesting because, as Rashi points out, Tosafot points out over here, the Mishnah is not only relevant to Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov. It's true on every day. So why is it here? It's because its formulation is very similar to the next Mishnah, which only deals with things that are on Erev Shabbat. But now we have, according to some of the Rishonim over here, some of the Rishonim believe that the first Mishnah is here only because we're dealing with carrying on Erev Shabbat. So now you have two Mishnayot here that are only here because of the next Mishnah, which talks about wearing something going into Shabbat that we're afraid you're going to carry it into the Shabbat. So the Mishnah before is there because it has a similar type of formulation, and the Mishnah before is because of Hotza'ah, which is the first Malacha that we're going to bump into dealing with Erev Shabbat. So according to those Rishonim that say that that's a connection, this is the second of two Mishnayot, which are not necessarily relevant, but only introduction to the final Mishnah, which will be why we started the Masechta over here. So now, Lo Yeshev Adam Lifnei Safar, Samuch LaMincha. A person should not sit down in front of the barber, right before Mincha. Ad Sheet Palel. First you gotta daven, then you can sit down. Lo Yikanes Adam LaMerchatz. A person should go into the bathhouse. Velo the Burski, not into the tanning area here, not tanning. Like suntan, but tanning where you take the hides and you cure them in that area, that's called the burski. Below the chol, not to eat a meal. Below the din, not to sit down to a adjudicated case. V'imitchilu ein mafsikim. But if you begin, you don't have to stop. So in all of these items, you shouldn't sit down with them before mincha, until you've davened mincha. But if you do sit down, ein mafsikim, we don't stop you. Mafsikim the kriyat shema, v'ein mafsikim the tefillah. On the other hand, when it comes to Kriyat Shema, we will force you to stop. By Shmon Esrei, we won't force you to stop. There's a simple distinction between them, which is Kriyat Shema is Min HaTorah, and Tefillah is only Midr Abanan. And so that distinction will lead us to a position that if you start, then we're going to force you to stop. When it comes to Kriyat Shema, when it comes to Tefillah, we're not going to force you to stop. Now, in these cases, we're assuming that there's Ika Shahut Bayom Lehitzbalal. There's still time left in the day to daven. We're not assuming here that you started and we're going to say, forget about Mincha. No, we're assuming that there's plenty of time to daven mincha. And we're seeing in the Gemara why these issues are problematic to start them, because they can draw out over long periods of time. And because of that, we're worried about it'll pass and you'll be an onus and you won't be able to daven mincha. But when you start, the assumption is that you could daven mincha later on, that there's time left in the day to daven mincha. And the other thing is that both Rashi and Tosafot explain over here that afilo hitchilu bi'isur. Even if you start bi'isur, then there's still, you do not have to be mafsik. So generally, we have a principle where if we say don't do something, and you violate that don't do something, we're going to force you to stop and take care of the other issue. Over here, Tosafot says that's not the way the Mishnah is working. The Mishnah is giving a suggestion, don't do this. And again, the situation is where you have time to left the day, daven mincha in the day. Therefore, if you start, we're not going to force you to stop, even though you violated the suggestion of the Mishnah and started improperly. So we don't force you to stop. And again, all of these principles, all this is in the Mishnah, as Rashi puts it, afilu b'chol nami. And this is in distinction, a contradistinction to the Mishnah in Pesachim, which says there that you may not eat meals, lo yochol ad shetechshach, that there you may not eat until it gets dark from the Zman HaMincha. Over there, Tosafot points out, that's only on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, because there is Kedeli Kanes, the Suda, the Te'avon. And there it's to come into the Shabbat or into the Yom Tov with an appetite. So in order to come in with an appetite, there it's only relevant on Shabbat Yom Tov, where there's a significant Suda at night. On a regular weekday, it doesn't really bother us whether you have an appetite or not when you come in at night. So that Mishnah is only Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov. This Mishnah is on Chol as well, because you were dealing with Mincha. Mincha is relevant whether you're talking about Erev Shabbat, Erev Yom Tov, or you're talking about any day. Mincha is still a relevant factor. Now, the Gemara asks the various question, which is the same question it would have asked in the Gemara in Brachot, which is, Hai Samoch to Mincha. Which Mincha are we talking about here? Right? There are two Minchas that we know. We know that from the Gemara in Brachot. There's Mincha Gdola, or there's Mincha Ktana. Mincha Gdola starts at 12:30, starts at 6.5 hours on the day. Well, the question of why it starts at 6.5 hours on the day, over here, Rashi seems to indicate that that's the Lechatchila. That's the time when it's what we call Ben Harabayim. Erev is when the sun is already casting a shadow. It's moved off the center point. And Rashi over here says that when the sun is between the time of 11:30 to 12:30 in the daytime, on a, you know, perfect day, in that area, the sun is not recognizable whether it's to either side. Only once it crosses over the threshold of the 12:30 area do you begin to have Erev, and therefore it'll be Ben Arabayim. So here it sounds like the Chathchila Mincha time is from 12:30 and on. In other places like the Gemara in Yoma and places like that, it says the reason that they waited until 12:30 was because the walls of the Beit HaMikdash were very thick. Because the walls of the Beit HaMikdash were very thick, they didn't cast a shadow until the sun reached the 12:30 point. And that's why they waited until 12:30. But, Mikar Adin, afternoon, already at the noon point, it would have been fine for Mincha. They just waited because they had thick walls, or they waited because they didn't want anybody to make a mistake. So, in different places, it's formulated differently in Rashi, whether as to whether the issue is an issue, lechatchila, I mean that you cannot daven during that period of time, period, because that's not considered to be Ben Arabayim, or because of some other exogenous variable, we say, don't wait until 12:30, even though Mikra Din, afternoon, from 12 o'clock and onward, would have been Ben Arabayim, either because the walls of the Beit HaMikdash are thick, or because we don't want people to make a mistake, noon is too exact in order to make a mistake, and therefore we wait until 12:30 to start Mincha. So it's one of those two. Correct, but that doesn't mean it's Ben Arabayim yet, right? Right. That might be true by Ma'ariv time. Ma'ariv might be defined by when Mincha ends and when Shacharit starts, but Mincha starting is not necessarily defined by when Shacharit ends, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it ends at Dalet Sha'ot. Nobody thinks Rabbi Yehuda thinks Mincha starts at fourth hour of the day. So Shacharit is definitely not the definer of when Mincha starts. So then the Gemara says, okay, which of these is it? Ilei Mela Mincha Gdola, we're talking about Mincha Gdola. Amai lo! Why can't you start these items or these processes close to Mincha Gdola? You're starting around noontime. You have another 5.5 hours left on the day to daven Mincha. Ha'ika Shaut B'yom Tuva. You have plenty of time left in the day. Why would you have any worry? Ela, it must be Samuch to Mincha Ktana. Mincha Ktana is 9.5 hours on the day from 3:30 and onward. That's where Mincha Ktana starts. That's the time that they normally brought the Tamid Shel Ben Arabayim. So Be'im Hitchilu. In mafsikim. If they start, you can't be mafsik. So now the Gemara says, okay, we must be dealing with Mincha Ktana. And here, if you start, we don't force you to stop. So name it Davi Yuftu, Rabbi Shu ben Levi. That's a problem for the statement of Rabbi Shu ben Levi. Damar Rabbi Shu ben Levi. Kevan shegiya zman tefillah te mincha, asur la adam shitom klum. Kodem shit belel tefillah te mincha. That once you reach the point of mincha, here we're assuming that's Mincha Ktana, you're not allowed to taste a morsel until you've davened mincha. So how could it be here? Our Mishnah is indicating that you don't have to stop. And Rabbi Shimon Levi says you can't taste a morsel before you daven mincha. The easy solution to the problem would have been to say that our Mishnah is talking about a case when he started beheter. That he started before Mincha Ktana. Just like by Havdalah. We have a rule by Havdalah that one is not allowed to be toin klum until they make Havdalah. But if you start your meal before Shia on Shabbat, you're allowed to continue the meal, even though you have not made Havdalah yet, because you started Beheter. So when you started Beheter, the restriction of Asur Litom doesn't apply to you. Whereas when you come to the point of Isur, then we say Asur Litom. The easy solution to the problem over here would to say that our mission is talking about when you started Beheter. You started before Mincha Ketana, and therefore, there's no question. You can continue. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is talking about a case where once you've hit the threshold, 9.5 hours, 3:30 on the day, then asur litom, you can't taste. So Tosfot asks that question, why not? Why doesn't the Gemara solve the problem that way? So Tosfot goes back and says it must be that our Mishnah, the base of our Mishnah is read, it says that imichilu ein mafsikim. If you start, you don't have to stop. Generically, it says it. And the implications are that even if you start a B'Isur. Well, that's why we don't use that as the solution. The solution is not good because the Mishnah seems to indicate even if you start a B'Isur, we don't require you to stop. If that's the case, now we have a problem that Rabbi Shua ben Levi is head on with our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Shua ben Levi is saying, if you get to the point of 3:30, you can't touch a food, you can't touch a morsel. And our Mishnah is saying, if you start a meal then, don't have to stop. So how do we deal with that? So, the olam samuch to mincha gdola. So the way to solve that problem is to move it back to mincha gdola. And therefore our mission is not a problem for Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi is talking about mincha ketana. Our mission is talking about mincha gdola. Now we're back to square one. If we have mincha gdola, there's plenty of time left in the day. Why can't you start that? So ubi tisporet ben elasa. It has to do with the haircut of Bel Asa. That is a haircut that was given to the Kohen Gadol. It was very detailed, involved type of haircut. The Gemara describes it in Yoma and other places, that it was a way that you cut each hair so that that hair, the tip of that hair, touched the root of the next hair. Whatever it was a very difficult type of haircut, was given to the Kohen Gadol. And Rashi here quotes the story that's brought in the Darim, that Chadosh Shel Rabbi Haya, that Elasa was the son-in-law of Rabbi, Bizer Ma'ot, the multi-sport Shel Kohen Gadol. And he spent a ton of money to learn how to give this particular type of haircut that was required by the Kohen Gadol. So since it's very involved, we're not talking about it something that's a short process. So then even at Mincha Gadol already, you should start worrying. Right. I mean, correct. That haircut was given to the Kohen Gadol, but other people could get it. It's just a very involved haircut.
It sounds like that. Correct.
It wasn't. The Gemara is the same all of these. Below the merchatz, we're talking about not going to the bathhouse. We're not talking about simply just a quick in and out shower. We're talking about the kulei milta the merchatz. We're talking about the whole kit and caboodle, which means lachuf rosho. It means to do a shampoo. Take a dip in the hot water, betzone, and then to the cold water, right, and then to the hazia, to the schwitz, the whole thing from beginning to end, kidding kabuto. So that's a long, much longer process. And below the burski, and then we had a burski into the tanning area, below the burski gudola. Talking about a very large burski, and as Rashi points out over here, we're talking about a case where they just started. You just started to cure them, and therefore it's very involved. Because it's big, and they just started. Those two factors together make it that it's going to be a long, drawn-out process if you enter in. Talking about a very large meal. Talking about, Sudak Yishlomo HaMelech. You sit down, it's going to be a big feast. Now, in their day, when you sat down to a meal, that was very involved. If you just remember from the Gemara in Brachot, when it described all the etiquette that went with the meal, where they went to the anteroom first, and they had wine there, and then they had to sit down in a certain way, they laid down on the couches, they washed their hands two times, three times. It was a very involved thing. If you came to a meal, you're going to be there the rest of the afternoon. So then better suda gdola. V'lo l'din, well, tchila din is not to open up or start a new case, because that could go on for a long time. You have no idea how long that would last. So that's the solution here. In all of these cases, where the suggestion is, according to the Gemara, we're talking about Mincha Gdola, and we're talking about these very expanded, or issues that take up a very large amount of time, and therefore you're going to run into a problem with Mincha. All right, once you start, you're involved, and it's hard for you to break away from them. So, right, both of those reasons will make it that we don't want you to start. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, the Olam B'Tisporet Idan, talking about a regular haircut, the Chatchila Amai Lo Yeshev, so then why shouldn't he sit down? Zera Shema Ishaver Zug. So Rav Acha Yaakov says, don't have to be where this is these unique circumstances where it's going to last a long time. This could even be regular, everyday types of activities, but these activities have risk involved in them. And that risk makes it that we don't want you entering into these activities because they could be drawn out. So that's the old the first possibility is restored to Dan, regular haircut, the Chatkila, Milo Yeshev, Gezerah Shema Yeshever Azug, because maybe these scissors will break, which would be very involved, and then make it into a long drawn out process. Lola Merchatz, Lazia, they don't want you going into the bathhouse, it's just for a schwitz, a regular schwitz, Valma, the Chatkila, Milo, why can't you go in? Gezerah Shema Yitalef. I don't know why it shouldn't be itafa, but italef, because maybe you'll faint. I don't know if it literally means to faint, or it means that you'll become tired and you'll become overcome by sleep and fall asleep, and it'll be difficult for you to daven afterwards. But all the burski, when you go into the burski, the une ba'alma, he's just going to a regular burski, regular tanning area, where the hides have been in there for a while. But what's the problem? Chatzkila mailo, why can't you go in there? Dilma chazi pseida bizvine, he'll see something that's going wrong. Umatrid, and then he'll be bothered by it. And this is very interesting. Rashi says, ve'tarud bitzaro v'lo yitpalel. You'll be weighed down by the pain, meaning that the loss that you have here, that'll cause you not to daven. You would have thought, well, what's the problem here? You see something that's going wrong, and then you're going to deal with it, and you're going to try to fix it. Rashi says, no, what's the tarid? The tarid here is that it's going to bother you so much that you won't be in a state of mind to be able to daven afterwards. And that's what we're worried about. V'lo lechol b'sudak tana. L'chatchila ma'ilo. Dilma atelem shuchay. Because maybe the meal gets drawn out. Right, you start out with a little snack, a little meal, and then it becomes a big meal. If lo le din, or you can't sit down to adjudicate a case, v'gmar din. That's time at the end. It's again the psak halacha. L'chatchila ma'ilo. Dilma chazitayim of a sutter dina. So the problem is that maybe you'll come to the ending or concluding arguments, and now you're going to give a psak halacha, and then you realize, oh, no, I want to change it. Well, if I did that, once you change it, you're starting over again. You're going to, it's as if you're beginning a new case, and that's what the problem here is, that maybe you'll get caught up in the new case. The halacha here has a huge nafkamina. There's a huge nafkamina between whether we think this is restricted in these areas, all these items, which are regular items, are they restricted from Milchak Dolar onwards, or do we go with the first answer of the Gemara, which is talking about these unusual cases where they're very, very involved processes, and that's what you're not allowed to get involved with. So Tosfot says over here, B'tisparch ben al-Asaf, if you look in that Tosfot, he says, Nero da hachi hilchata, that this is the aloha, B'shari sudaktana b'mincha dolar ad zman ha-tfila, that you're allowed to start a suda by mincha gedola. B'dafka suda gedola, just the suda gedola, like said in the first case, so the first answer of the Gemara is problematic. Kigon, what's an example? Sudat Erusin, Vinisuim, Sudat Milah, those are Asurim. Those are big feasts. Those are big involved meals. Those you can't start close to Mincha Gedolah. But a regular Suda, you could start. You could have lunch near the time of Mincha Gedolah without any problem. Why do we pass them like that? We have Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and then we have the Lishna Kama. Very interesting reasoning of Tosafot. Tosafot says that Satam Lana Shas. The first answer was given without any assignment of the author of the position. It was given as an anonymous position. It's a Stam Gemara. And then the latter half we assign to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Who do we assign as Stam Shas? Well, Rav Ashi is the organizer of the Shas, and he's a Batra. So if I'm dealing with an argument, had I known that it was Rav Ashi versus Rav Acha bar Yaakov, I would have passed him like Rav Ashi. So Tosafot says, if I have a Stam Gemara, who's the author of a Stam Gemara? Must be Rav Ashi. So if Rav Ashi is the author of Stam Gemara, now we have a Machloket Rav Ashi, who's a Batra, and the Halacha will be like him against Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So that's the reasoning that Tosafot gives, that we paskin like the first Lashon and not the second Lashon, because it's really Stam Gemara is Rav Ashi against Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So he says, Miu, Samuch the Mincha Ktano Asur. Once you hit Mincha Ktano, then it's Asur. Afilu Suda Ktana. Even a small meal, that we know from the Mishnah in Psachim, the first Mishnah in the 10th Perek in Psachim. V'imitchilu, and if you start there, mafsikim, we're going to stop you. Now again, our Mishnah says if you start, even be'isur, we don't stop you. But that's back at Mincha Gedola. By Mincha Ketana, if you start and you do it illegally, we're going to stop you. So he says, wait a minute, is Lalocha like Rabbi Shuben Levi? That's Rabbi Shuben Levi's position over here. So he says that v'lo kaimelan k'Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. We don't paskin like Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, who says you can't touch a morsel until you daven mincha. So Tosafot says Halacha is not like it. But he just said if you start illegally the meal, you have to stop. That's based on Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. So he bifurcates Rabbi Shuv ben Levi and says we don't paskin like Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. If you eat fruit, if you eat small items or snacks after mincha ketana, that's fine. We don't believe like Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, you're not allowed to taste anything after mincha ketana. But on the other hand, we do take one of the dinim of Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, which is, if you start illegally, we're going to stop you. We're going to say you have to stop and you have to daven mincha, because you're moving into the risk zone. You're too late in the day and you started illegally, then we're going to stop you and say you must stop the meal in order to daven. And now the Gemara continues and says, okay, what is considered to be starting? What is considered to be starting? A haircut? What's considered to be starting? A din? All of these items, how do we define them? So the Gemara says, "Me'ematai atchalat tisporet." When does the haircut begin? Samari Avin, Mishi Aniach, Maforet, Shel Saparim al Birkav. So he puts down the cover, the sheet. Today it'd be the equivalent of the apron that they put around you when you get your hair cut. Right. Rashi explains to cover your clothes so that the hair doesn't fall on your clothing. It's the same thing that we use today. That's considered to be the beginning of the haircut. Once you've started, ein mafsikin. That's the start of the haircut. Ve'matay atchalat merchatz. What is considered to be the beginning of entering the bathhouse? Amravin mishiare ma'afarto himenu. When he takes off his afarto. Now that's translated by different people. Some translate it as a cloak. Rashi over here says a sudar, which would be like a turban or head covering of sort that you remove. But it's the first article of clothing that you would remove. Once you remove that first article of clothing, that's already considered to be the start of the bath. When is it considered that you've begun to investigate or look into the tanning area? Mikshor ben ktefav. When you put on the apron, you know, the aprons that they wear in these situations, these big aprons to protect their clothing from the materials that they're using to cure. Once you've tied that apron between your shoulders, meaning around the neck, the top part of it, then already you've begun the process and you don't have to be mafsik.
Rashi mentions that they were batei zro'otav.
That would be sleeves. I don't know if it was part of the apron. I don't know if they were gloves. Whatever it is that you put on when you go into the burski over here, it sounds like ben ktefav, between your shoulders. Sounds like you have to tie something around your neck. It sounds more like an apron than sleeves. But the apron could have had sleeves on it. When is the beginning of eating the meal? So here we have a machlok. We have a rav amar, mishito yadav. When you wash netilat yadayim, that's the beginning of the meal. Rabbi Chanina amar, mishiyater chagura. When you open up your belt. And in their day, they wore their belts tight, so you opened up your belt to make room for the meal.
I guess also they're expecting
that it's all meals in their day you washed for. That's a modern phenomenon, that you have a meal that you don't wash for. That's why the halacha is so difficult for us in some instances, because we can eat three meals in a day and never wash. Their assumption was if you ate a meal, you washed. It was a suda. It was a full-fledged suda. Mar says, lo plige, they don't argue. Halan, haluhu. That's for them, that's for us. Them and us, whenever you have that in the shas, that means Eretz Yisrael. And Bavel. The only problem is, which is which? Now we have, it would be easy here, I'll tell you why it's easy, because who's Rav? Rav is found in Bavel. So the answer should be that Rav is in Bavel, Rabbi Chanina is in Eretz Yisrael. There's a problem, which is the next line in the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Hane Chavrain Bavlai. Our good friends in Bavel, Abaye is in Bavel, our good friends in Bavel, Lamand Amar Tfilat Arvit Rishut, the one who says the Tfilat Arvit is a optional Tfilah, Kevin de Sharile Ham Yaneh, once he opens up his belt, Lo Matrachinen Lay. We're not going to bother him to stop and daven Marif. Lamand Amar Chuva, the one who says that Arvit is an obligation, then Matrachinen Lay, then we're going to force him to go back. So Abaye, who's in Bavel, and speaking about Chavrin Bavel, is talking about undoing your belt as the beginning of the meal. But that was the opinion of Rabbi Chanina before. So now we have a problem. It sounds like Bavel is the place where we're talking about undoing the belt, and Netilat Yadayim is in Eretz Yisrael, which is the opposite of what Rav and Rabbi Chanina present. This becomes a problem throughout Shas. Tosafot over here already deals with it. And throughout Shas, there are different opinions. The main machloka between Rashi and Tosafot is found in the Gemara Kedushin and Chavtetim with Bet. Over there it says Halan Haluhu. And there the Gemara is arguing about whether it's better to get married first and then learn Torah, or to learn Torah and then get married. The Gemara answers over there, Halan Haluhu. And Rashi and Tosafot argue about the explanation. Over here, Tosafot says, I'll tell you what the explanation is. The explanation is that Rav was speaking to his students from Eretz Israel, and Rabbi Chanina was speaking to his students from Bavel. So even though Rabbi Chanina is in Eretz Yisrael, he's speaking to the students of Bavel. And even though Rav's in Bavel, he's speaking to the students in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the way we'll solve the problem over here. The question or the issue is that it doesn't work so well in other places. And that's what Tosfot says over here. The Gemara in Brachot doesn't work so well that way. Because here the Gemara in Brachot specifically asks from the one who has the opinion that it's in Bavel is the one that resides in Bavel. And so the Gemara clearly assigns the Amora, whose opinion is in Bavel, to the Bnei Bavel. So if the Gemara does that in Brachot, and I pointed this out when we did it in Brachot, then that makes it over here that the Halan Halahu means if the Amora is in Bavel, he's speaking to Bnei Bavel. If he's in Eretz Yisrael, he's speaking to Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfot gives an answer, like the answer he gave that answer there as well, was Yesh Lamar, the Kimle, Debot Shalo Yulufanat Talmidim Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara Brachot was certain at that time that he had no Talmidim from Eretz Yisrael with him. So he said normally they had foreign students with them, and that's the explanation of this case in Shas. But in that year they didn't get any foreign students, and that's why the statement was made in the context of it has to be that the person from Bavel is speaking to Bnei Bavel, because he didn't have any foreign students with him. Alright, now we move on to the next thing, which is Tefillat Arvit Rishut, Verishut, Tefillat Arvit Chovah. Now, the Gemara in Brachot, with Tefillat Arvit, Rishut, and Chovah, usually the term Rishut means optional. That's the way I translated it over here. It means that it's up to you. You want to daven Ma'ariv, don't want to daven Ma'ariv, it's up to you. Tosafot in Tefillat HaShachar took issue with that and said Rishut over here does not mean optional. Rishut over here means in contrast to Mitzvah Chovah. Chovah says you're obligated. Rishut means not optional, but it means not Chovah. Not Chovah means I have to look at my circumstance. If I have nothing else that's competing, then I have to daven Ma'ariv. If I have something competing, then I will opt out of Ma'ariv for the competing item. And that's what Rishut means, and Tosfot says it over here as well. He has a little difficulty with it over here, because over here it sounds like, if you have Tvayu Davi Rishut, sounds like you wouldn't daven at all, according to Tosfot. He says, Vim Tomar, typically Mishum Kriyat Shema. The first question he asks is, wait a minute, you said in our Mishnah that you don't have to stop for Tefillah, but you have to stop for Kriyat Shema. So over here, the statement of Abaye says that you open up your belt for nighttime, you don't have to daven anymore. So what about Kriyat Shema, which is Doraita? So he says, Yishlamar Kagon Shikara Kriyat Shema. You already said Kriyat Shema, so we're done with the Doraita side. V'nira l'ri, da'afilu l'manda amar tefillah darvid reshut, ein levat labachinam. You shouldn't just give it up for no reason. Ela b'shvil shum tzorech. It has to be for some necessity. What's a necessity? You opened up your belt. You opened your belt already. Ah, we're not going to bother you to put your belt back on in order to go and daven. But it sounds like from Tosfot over here, that means that you're not going to daven Ma'ariv at all. It's not like, oh, you'll postpone it till later. It sounds like you're just not going to daven. Right, correct. Rashi's clear that here it's just a postponement of Ma'ariv till a later time. From Tosafot, it sounds like here we're in competition. And we're in competition, it means that we drop Ma'ariv. I don't know why he does. Especially given his opinion, where Rishut means optional, when I would say it's competing items, like Rashi. So you postpone it till later. Not that you get rid of it, but according to Tosafot, Rishut means that you would get rid of it. Ein lefatla b'chinam means don't get rid of it for no reason. But it sounds like if you did have a reason, you'd get rid of it. You wouldn't daven Ma'ariv at all. So it's interesting that Tosafot formulates it that way. I don't think you have to. I think you can formulate like Rashi without any problem and still have the definition of Rishut that Tosafot has. But just know that that is a machlokes rishonim back in the Gemara in Brachot. As well, Tefillat Arvit Rishut means literally optional. And if you decide you don't want to, you do want to, that's what it means. Or, like Tosafot explains to me, Rishut in contrast to Chovah, which means that you're not obligated, but if there's no other competing item, we're going to ask you to daven Ma'ariv. And Tosafot says, I can prove that to you, because the Gemara says, Tefillat Arvit Tikna Yaakov. So what does that mean? Tikna Yaakov Ma'ariv for what? If it has to be some sort of takana that he established it for some purpose. And same thing with Keneged Evarim Uptarim. What does it mean that Ma'ariv is Keneged Evarim Uptarim? It can't mean that it's just you do whatever you want. There has to be something that Ma'ariv has some meaning in that context. Even if you say Tefillat Arvit Rishut, you still have to have some meaning, and therefore there is a mitzvah to daven Ma'ariv. Exactly. Okay, so that's exactly right. It's not ma'akeh, but it means there is a mitzvah. There's still a mitzvah to do it. Right. So he is going to define it, the Rishut, the same way. And that's his proof that Rishut doesn't mean optional. It means a mitzvah, not a chovah. All right, that's the way he's going to define it. Vah, tefillat mincha. Wait a minute. Mincha, the kuli alma chovah. Our Mishnah talks about mincha, where it's a chovah. And over there we said, if you open up your belt, ein matzikin. So how can a bayi make a distinction between chovah and Rishut, when our Mishnah is talking about chovah, says you open your belt, ein matzikin. It's not, in tchilu ein matzikin. And Rabbi Chanina said that once you open your belt, you don't have to stop. Gemara says two answers. One is, Hotam lo shchicha shichrut, hocha shchicha shichrut. By mincha time, people don't usually drink too much and then become inebriated and they won't be able to return to daven mincha. By Ma'ariv time, there's a high likelihood that you're going to become inebriated and you will not be able to daven Ma'ariv afterwards. Inami. Mincha has a limited time to it. The sun will set, and that will be the end of Zman Mincha. Person knows that they only have a window of opportunity to daven, and therefore it's always on their mind. When am I going to daven Mincha? When am I going to daven Mincha? Ma'ariv, I have the whole night to daven. I got plenty of time to daven. They don't feel that pressure. Arvid, kevin to kule leila, Zman Arvid, lo mirta, t'ati the mifsha. And therefore you'll come to make that mistake. The only thing I want to note here is very important, is why don't we duchen at mincha time? Why do the Kohanim not go up to duchen at mincha time? The Gemara says, because of shichrut, because of the possibility of becoming drunk. So how come over here, the Gemara is saying, mincha, you don't get drunk? And yet, that is the reason that we give by Birkat Kohanim. Okay, but that should be enough. If it's not shchicha, then why? You're going to be gozer, no duchening, no going up to the duchen, or the Kohanim, and not the duchen, because some people get drunk? Seems like a far-fetched gezeirah. So Tosfot answers is that the threshold for being drunk for Birkat Kohanim is much lower than being drunk for Tefillah. Being drunk for Kohanim is a Reviyat Yayin. You drink a Reviyat Yayin, you're disqualified being Ola L'Duchen. So that's a very low threshold. That, you can drink one cup of wine and you're done. That's it, you can't Duchen anymore. When we're talking about Shichut here, we're talking about Ninibe, where you can't stand, you can't be Omen Lifnei HaMelech. You can't formulate your Tefillah. You can't stand properly before the Melech. That's a much, much higher threshold. And therefore, that's the difference here. There is shichrut when we're talking about the threshold of drinking a revit. Yeah, that means you have one cup of wine. They have wine at every meal. So that you have. But when we're talking about inebriate where you can't have a mincha, that was not shkiach by the time of mincha. Okay, we'll stop over here.